As I said with the kids, I wanted to be talking, I'm going to talk about faith a little bit, read some scripture there in just a moment. Talk about faith. What is faith? I want to read you a definition of faith that comes from the dictionary. There are four different aspects of faith according to this definition. Unquestioning belief, specifically in God, religion, etc. Well, now I will stop there and just say, let me just clarify one thing for our purposes up. Faith is not believing unquestionably in religion. That is definitely not so, because your religion will get you nowhere except to church on Sundays or whatever day your prescribed group meets. Religion will get you nothing but performing certain rites and rituals at the prescribed time. But faith is that unquestioning belief in God, that what God has done for you and through Jesus Christ is the way, that He is the way, truth, and life. And I'll just say that. The second part of that, of the definition, is it is a particular religion. Speaking of Christianity is a faith, or Judaism is a faith. That's a true statement. That is a faith. Those are various faiths. The third one, complete trust or confidence. I can go along with that. And the fourth one, loyalty. So those are aspects that the world sees when they talk about faith. And a good definition it is, I think. But faith is much more than just a prescribed set of beliefs. We can believe in a lot of different things. You know, I tell you, I unashamedly, as an American, I'm proud of our nation and our heritage and where we came from and how this nation was founded. And I don't have that as a pride, a foolish pride, I hope it's not, that kind of pride, but that it's a pride that we trusted God as a people and we've enabled other peoples throughout the history of this nation to worship and to practice their beliefs and to have the opportunity to live and prosper and those kind of things. I'm proud of that fact. Now, I don't say that, I don't deny that. But the truth is that belief and faith in this nation, America or any other nation on the face of the earth, will not do you one bit of good. It won't save you, it won't get you to God, nothing. No government, however worthy and noble, can't do that. Some people, it's easy to have faith in the economy. If you've got faith in the economy these days, with the stock market going down and gas prices going up and interest rates going down, housing costs going, you know, it's pretty hard to have a lot of faith in the economy today. But what we do have faith in is our own ability to make money and save money and to hoard it up so that we can have enough, you know. And how much is enough, I don't know. But we do have faith at many times and place our faith in the monetary systems of this world. Another place we put faith all the time is in our doctors. We go to the doctor and he tells us to do something. We go to a doctor that we've never seen before sometimes, you know, particularly if you get referred for something specific. You go to a doctor that you've never seen before. How many of you, before you went to him, you've called the medical school where he supposedly went to medical school and verified that he was a doctor? Well, you took it on faith from the doctor that referred you to that doctor that he was legit. Well, this doctor then that you go to that you've never seen before gives you a medication that you've never heard of before. And how many of you have a chemistry degree or a pharmacy degree that you can check that out and verify that all this is true and this is a legitimate, a true medication? Well, you take it on faith that that doctor's really going to prescribe something to you that he truly in his heart believes is going to help you. Well, then you go to a drugstore that, you know, maybe you've never been to before, or if you're new in an area or trying a new drugstore or something, you go to a drugstore you've never been before, to a pharmacist you've never seen before, and you're trusting them to truly be pharmacists and truly be giving you what the doctor has prescribed. Do you see where I'm going with this? We put faith in all sorts of things. And we think it's so strange, and the world thinks it's so strange, that we would put faith in God and in His Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Lord and Savior and be the means by which we can, and only the only means by which we can attain salvation. Not because of what we've done, but because of what He's done. We think that's strange, but I think it's strange to put faith in all those other things as well. When we look at the Scripture, in chapter 15 of Genesis, we find a man named Abram at this point, not Abraham yet, who is dealing with issues of faith. There are three facts of faith that I want to lift out from this chapter and talk a little bit about. And believe me, these are not the only three facts about faith. You can probably come up with 300 on your own as you look at it. But these are three essentials, I think, that I want to share with you this morning. Three facts of faith that we must recognize in order to live faithful lives. The first of these is that faith is the foundation of a right relationship with God. Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 6. Let me say that again. The first fact is that faith is the foundation of a right relationship with God. Verses 1 through 6. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." But Abram said, "Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus?" Then Abram said, "Look, you have given me no offspring indeed. One born in my house is my heir." And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "This one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir." Then he brought him outside and said, "Look now toward heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them." And he said to him, "So shall your descendants be." And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Abraham believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Faith is the foundation of a right relationship with God. You've got to believe that God can do what He says He will do. How many of you ever seen the old cartoon with the Roadrunner cartoon? Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner. How many of you ever hoped that once that coyote would catch the Roadrunner? I did. I promise. I didn't, you know, not to be morbid or anything, but I just wanted him to grab that coyote one time. I felt so bad for him. He was such an underdog. Well, many times in the Wile E. Coyote and Roadrunner cartoons, you would see Wile E. Coyote would be running wide open, just about to catch Roadrunner, and Roadrunner would make a sharp turn, and Wile E., he would just run off the cliff and hang out there in space just a moment, and then all of a sudden start dropping. But he'd always reach out with that one hand and grab a limb, you know, a little tiny twig that was hanging out, and he'd just be hanging there. Well, what would always happen? The twig would break, and he would fall, splat to the ground, you know, with a little puff of dust. Well, you see, what Wile E. Coyote's his security was not in the fact that he was able to grab on to something. You know, any of us, we grab on to things all the time. Those things that I mentioned, we grab on to government or to our financial status or to the care that doctors provide or the might of our military. Those are things, and when we grab onto those things, folks, and hold onto them for faith, we're hanging on to a very fragile, rotten limb. And it's going to break. If you put your faith and you grab hold to another person, to a preacher, to a teacher, to a husband, a wife, a child, a parent, that limb is going to break, folks, because, you know, no matter how good a parent, no matter how good a husband or a wife, folks, that person's going to let you down. And if the only way they let you down is that they go on to be with the Lord one day and leave you alone, they're going to let you down. It can't be helped. But folks, the security in when you fall off that cliff and you're hanging on there is not in the strength of the object that you... It's not in the object that you have a hold to, but in the strength of the object you have a hold of. And when you go off that cliff in this life, and we all go off that cliff, it's called sin, and falling short of the glory of God, we run off that cliff, and there is no help for us, there is no rescue for us, except Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And when you grab a hold and reach out to that, you don't have to grab, all you have to do is reach. And it's like that friend that reaches to grab you and is not going to let go. The strength of faith, the fact of faith, the first fact of faith is that it is the foundation. It is the foundation of a right relationship with God. And when you grab a hold, when you allow God to put His hand on you, it's not in the strength of the object, but it's in the strength of the one who's got you. Everything else will fail, but God won't. That's the first fact of faith. The second fact of faith. Faith has to face the test that will yet, the test of the yet unfulfilled promise. Can't read my writing. Faith has to face the test of the yet unfulfilled promise, the unseen and the unrealized. Let's read verse 7 through 16. And then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it? And he said to him, bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old female goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Then he brought all these to him and cut them in two down the middle and placed each piece opposite the other, but he did not cut the birds in two. And when the vultures came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. Now when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him. Then he said to Abram, know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years. And also the nation whom they serve I will judge. Afterwards they shall come out with great possessions. Now as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at a good old age, but in the fourth generation they shall return here, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. Faith has to face the test of the yet unfulfilled promise. God is saying to Abraham here in this passage, says, Abraham, I'm making you a promise, but there's some things that's going to happen before it's fulfilled, before it comes to completion. You know, Abraham never even sees this promise complete. But he's promising him that it will happen. He's telling him, says, that there's going to be some bad times for your family in the generations to come. They're going to be enslaved. They're going to be afflicted. It's going to be tough. But you're going to have pretty good days. You're going to die at a ripe old age, and you're going to see some good times. But folks, what God is saying to us today in the fact of faith is that we don't know everything that's coming our way. We can't see into the future completely and know that we won't have dark times and difficult times. But we do know that God is going to always be there with us. And He tells him, Abraham, that here through this. He tells him and assures him that He will not leave him alone. I remember a story that my daddy told me when I was little. It's one of those stories, you know, as a kid you get to think, oh no, I got to hear another one of those stories when daddy had to walk 14 miles through the snow with bare feet, you know, to find the milk cow that had wandered off, and you know, those kind of things. But my daddy was kind of a storyteller anyway, and he liked to tell things. But when I was little, he would tell about this awful creature that lived up in our attic. And he never really told me that much about it, but other kids, when they would come over, and he would make this grand production of this terrible creature, Brownie the Bear, with all these big long horns and fangs and things, you know. And what I guess he didn't realize was that he was scaring me to death, much less them. You know, I couldn't hardly even sleep at night sometimes, but I can remember as a child, I didn't like the dark too much. Any of y'all ever been there? You really didn't like the dark all that much? Still don't, you know. Renee, shake your head. I like to have a light on. I'm just honest with you, you know. But Daddy would, I would, if is sitting in the room, in the living room at night watching TV, I had to have somebody to go and watch, make sure I could get to the bathroom without anything getting me. Well, Daddy finally told me, says, what you do, so you just go into the next room, go in the living room, you turn this light on, and then you can see to get to the hall, and then when you get to the hall, you flip the hall light on, and then when you get down to the end of the hall, you flip the bathroom light on, and then you've got light getting you all the way there. He told me, he said, when I was a little boy, when I was a little boy, I used to have to go out in the morning real early. My daddy was the second oldest of 10. First four were boys, so he had a lot of chores to do when he was growing up, no doubt. Growing up during the Depression days and those kind of things. But he said that when he had to go out early in the morning when it was his turn to do chores, feed the chickens and feed the stock and milk the cow and all those fun things. It'd be dark when he had to go out. And he said he didn't like going out there either, but that his daddy, my grandpa, would tell him to take the lamp, and he says, the lamp will light your way till you get to the end of the fence out there. And once you get to the end of the fence, the lamp will light your way till you get over to the chicken coop. And once you get to the chicken coop, it'll light your way till you get over to the barn door. And once you get to the barn door, the lamp will light your way till you get inside. Well, see, folks, that's what faith is all about. Faith is not standing here and being able to see what's going to happen 20 years, 30 years down the road. But faith is standing here knowing, say, okay, God, I'm trusting you because you are lighting my way. You are the light of the world, and I'm going to trust you to see till I get over here to this next point, and you just follow that. And before you know it, folks, you're there in the presence. You're right there where you need to be. Faith is not about seeing everything perfectly all the way to the end, but it's about putting one foot in front of the other and trusting God that He is going to show you the way. That's the second fact, that faith has to face the test of yet unfulfilled promises. Third fact, faith leaves all to God, who will bring His promise to pass in the fullness of time. Verse 17 and 18. And it came to pass when the sun went down and it was dark that, behold, there appeared a smoking oven and a burning torch that passed between those pieces. On the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your descendants I have given this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. Okay, just talk about that symbolism there. If you were in our Genesis Bible study and attended when we did that, this was one we talked a great deal about, this idea of covenant and the splitting of the animals and laying them opposite to each other. And what it's actually doing, see, there's a covenant being established here by God and to His people. It's all a one-way covenant. It's all God, I will do. If you will just be my people, I will be your God, is what He's saying. All conditional upon God. I will do everything. The splitting of the animals is basically making an oath, making a promise, establishing a covenant with God, and God is saying that if I don't do what I'm saying, may these very same things happen to me. And if the splitting down the half, opposite each other. God passed through them, the smoking pot and the torch is symbolic. It's God's presence passing through there. When people in that day and time would reach agreements or bargains or deals on the selling of livestock or land or something, that's what they would do. There would be a covenant ceremony, and animals would be sacrificed that way, and both parties would pass through, and they would be saying to each other, if I don't live up to my end of the bargain, may this very same thing happen to me. May I be split apart. You know, it's like it's making a promise, across my heart, hope to die, stick a needle in my eye kind of thing. It's going to the extreme, assuring that I will that my promise will be upheld. Now, faith leaves all to God. Everything is relying upon God here. God says, to your descendants, I have given this land. It's all about what God has done. God is the one in charge. Folks, we can't do enough. We can't We can't give enough, be good enough. We can't love enough. It's all about what God has done for us. It's hard to do that and to trust that completely sometimes. It's hard to trust. It's hard to trust each other that much. It's hard to trust God sometimes. Sometimes it's kind of like that guy that was going hiking. And Brennan, you may kind of relate to this right here because of something that happened when we were up on Looking Glass Rock last year. But there's a story of the guy that was hiking, and he was walking along, didn't know where he was, and next thing you know, he stepped out of the bushes and stepped off the edge of the cliffs almost straight down. Well, he was kind of like Wile E. Coyote, and he grabbed a hold of a branch there and was able to hang on. And it was a good, strong branch, and so he wasn't worried about it pulling loose or anything, but he knew, he says, I can't hold on here forever. So he started yelling for help. Help! Help! Is anybody there? Is anybody there? And he heard this voice from up above say, yes, I'm here. And he says, who is it? Who are you? Can you help me? And he says, yes, this is God. Says, and yes, I can help you. He says, oh, good. So, well, help me then. He says, turn loose and let go. Silence for a moment. And the guy said, help! Is anybody else up there? You know, we want to trust. But sometimes God doesn't tell us the kind of thing to trust in Him that we want to hear. You know, sometimes He tells us to turn loose and just trust Him. That is what faith is all about. Trusting God. Not standing up on the side of a cliff and throwing yourself off. That's tempting God. But turning loose of those things that we hold on to the tightest in this world. That's what faith is about. Facts of faith, it's the foundation of a right relationship. It's knowing that we're going to be tested and have to overcome, to persevere, and to be overcomers on those things that are unseen and unrealized yet. And finally, the final fact of faith is that it ultimately is all left in God's hands. That's probably the most difficult thing because we like to be in control. We even as Christians, we make up pretty little bumper stickers that illustrate that, you know, unknowingly. God is my co-pilot. Well, my goodness, don't want to ride with you, my friend. I want to be in somebody's vehicle where God is the pilot.
Amen.
Not the co-pilot. Trust. Faith. Only in God can we truly have hope. Put your faith in Him. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your examples of faith and for the love that You have given us through Your Son. I pray, Lord, this day that we can trust these facts of faith and the many other facts that are surrounding faith, and that we can look to You and that we can turn loose of those things that we hold on to tightest and allow You to be our Lord and our God. May we worship You in everything we do.